Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Good morning. Ayan, maligayang pag-alala no sa Semana Santa. No, ito'y pinakabanal na linggo no as we celebrate the Holy Week beginning this Wednesday no hanggang Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Black Saturday, and then the Easter Sunday, no? So nakahanda na ba kayo to celebrate and mangilin? Magandang pagkakataon to reflect, no, on what Jesus did on the cross, who Jesus is in your life, itong darating na Semana Santang ito, no? Meron pong isang community na puro Katoliko. At nagbahagi po ng kanilang pangingilin ng Semana Santa ay 40 days of prayer and fasting. No? At kasama sa fasting po nila ay hindi kakain ng baboy. No? So every Friday, hindi sila kakain ng baboy. Ilang linggo yun. No? Noong unang Friday, habang sila po ay kumakain ng gulay at ng isda, no, eh, yung pong isang kapitbahay nila na naging isang protestante ay nagba-barbecue. Sabi nila, ba't naman ganon? Di man lang marunong makisama itong protestante na ito. Noong sumunod na Biyernes, ganon na naman. Kaya ano kayang gagawin natin dito? Kaya ang iniisip po nila bilang mga Katoliko ay i-convert itong protestante na ito para maging Katoliko. No. At kinaibigan nila hanggang sa kanila pong na-win over. And finally, nagdesisyon na maging Katoliko. So, from Protestant, naging Catholic. At binautisman po siya. At winisikan po siya. At ang sabi sa kanya ay ganito, pinanganak kang protestante. Isinilang kang protestante, ha? Lumaki kang protestante, pero ngayon ikaw ay katoliko na. Ayan. So siya naman po ay nakayuko at nagninilay-nilay. Dito ang tuwa na po sila sapagkat, naku, salamat sa Panginoon at ang ating reflection, no, ngayong Holy Week ay magiging mapayapa at walang anumang sagabal. Eh, nung dumating po yung Biyernes Santo, sila po ay nagtitika at nangingilin, ano? Bigla na namang naaamoy nila, may nagbabarbecue na naman. Ano bang nangyari? Ang ginawa po nila ay sinili po nila at pinuntahan yung bagong convert na ito. At nakita po nila habang nag-iihaw po ng barbecue, ang sabi po niya doon sa barbecue ay, pinanganak kang baboy. Lumaki kang baboy, ngayon ikaw ay ganap ng isda. Yan. So that what happens, no, kapag po ang ating religion ay hindi naman talaga galing sa puso, kundi for compliance, no. Maging ang Holy Week ay mawawala ng saysay kung hindi natin maunawaan ano ba talaga ang layunin ng Holy Week, no. Ano talaga ito? Para hindi tayo nakukulong sa tradisyon o sa mga ritual, no? So the essence of the season is not just going through the motion. When we look at this picture, we see the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Sabihin nga natin the way of the cross. Sa Tagalog, yan ang daan ng krus. At alam nyo ba yung 14 na istasyon ng krus? Ang tawag po dyan ay Via Crucis, no? The 4 stations of the cross. Sa atin, bilang mga Christians, we're not really into the traditional way of celebrating the 4 stations, beginning from the condemnation of Jesus by Pilate, no? Hanggang bawat istasyon, yung nadapa si Jesus, ayan. Pinunasan ni Veronica, mga ganyan. So, that's the traditional way of doing it. Sa atin, Via Dolorosa. Ano? Hindi siya Via Crucis, but Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Pero sa umaga na ito, Panginoon, mga kapatid, nais ko pong tunghayan natin not the way of the cross, but the why of the cross. I think it's more important for us, no, to understand the why rather than focusing on the way or the how of the cross. And let's go through the scriptures. Basahin po natin ito in Luke chapter 23, verse 33 onwards. Tumayo tayong lahat bilang paggalang sa salita ng Panginoon. Luke 23, verse 33 to 34, then 39 to 42, hanggang verse, ano po tayo, 47. Okay? Kung nakita nyo na, say amen. Okay, let's all read this together. Ready, go. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They cast lots to divide his garments. 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn into two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly, this man was innocent. No? Pagpalain ng Panginoon ang kanyang salita, shall we pray? Panginoon, sa umaga na ito, nagpapakumbaba po kami, nanginginig sa iyong mga salita. At tulungan mo, Panginoon, na masiyasat namin ang aming mga puso. At maging klaro sa aming isip, Panginoon, kung sino ka at anong ginawa mo para sa amin. May you be glorified, Lord, this morning. May you be exalted and may we appreciate who you are and what you have done for us on the cross. And we are forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, sige, palakpakan natin ang Panginoon, mga kapatid, sa kanyang kabutihan at katapatan sa atin. Please be seated in the presence of God. The crucifixion is the culminating event. Parang all roads lead to the cross. Parang everything about Jesus has something to do with his sacrificing his life for you and for me on that cross. So if this is the climax, kung ito ang pinaka tugatog at tuktok ng lahat, the crucifixion of Jesus, as I was studying these passages from different Gospels, I realized something, no? When you look at verse 33, open your Bibles to verse 33. Anong sabi po sa verse 33? Sabi po dito, when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. So kung ito yung climax, nung binabasa ko po ito, ang tanong ko ay why look used only four words to describe the crucifixion? Why only four words? There they crucified him. In Matthew, ganun din ang pagkakasabi ni Matthew when they had crucified him. 5 words. In Mark 15, verse 24, and they crucified him. 4 words. In Luke 23, nabasa natin, there they crucified him. And even in John, only 4 words. There they crucified him. Actually, in the original Greek, it's only 3 words. Ekei, estaurosan, auton. Bakit ganun lang kaikli? To think that Luke was a detailed historian and a meticulous physician, parang you would wonder, bakit walang graphic description of the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Why a simple statement? Hindi kagaya ng mga art ng Renaissance in the last 300 years, no, kita natin yung mga paintings and artwork, the graphic description of the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yes, we appreciate Mel Gibson with his The Passion of the Christ. At maraming mga scholars ang nagsasabi that the accuracy of the description of the depiction of Mel Gibson, powerful talaga. No? Bakit, ang tanong, ay bakit walang ganung klase ng description doon sa 4 Gospels and particularly Luke, na very detailed dapat. No? Wala man lang drama. Alam mo yun? Wala man lang slow-mo. Kung iisipin mo. No? Why limit the statement into 3 words only? And let me suggest some reasons why. Una, no, Luke was not an eyewitness. So siguro wala siyang karapatan para magbigay ng detalyadong tala kung paanong ipinako si Jesus sa krus. Siguro wala siyang ganung moral authority, no, to be able to describe it in the first place. He was not an eyewitness. Pangalawang dahilan kung bakit napakasimple lang ng description is because during their time, crucifixion is a common thing. The scourging, the crucifixion were common. And the details and the description is unnecessary. They're all unnecessary. When you look at the book of Acts, at kahit itong mga epistles, no, kung makapansin ninyo, wala ring graphic description of the physicality of the suffering of Jesus. Bakit kaya? Palagay ko, isa lang ang dahilan kung bakit ang mga Bible writers hindi masyadong binigyan ng tuon yung detalye ng pagkakapako ni Jesus sa krus ng Kalbaryo. Sapagkat mas mahalaga sa kanila yung why rather than the how Jesus was crucified. It's not just the passion of Christ, but what this suffering achieved. Sabi nga ni Alistair Begg, sympathy will not lead you to faith in Jesus. So ang tanong, bakit nga ba maikli lamang ang tala? Bakit maikli ang ulat kung paanong pinako si Jesus sa krus ng Kalbaryo? No? Bakit walang drama? Bakit walang cinematic effects? Bakit walang slow motion? Bakit walang malikhaing kaparaanan para ipaliwanag kung paanong ipinako si Kristo sa krus? Palagay ko, mga kapatid, hindi ito pinakita sa atin sapagkat ang nais ni Jesus ay hindi ang ating awa. Kasi pag nakita natin at unawaan natin kung gaano kahirap ang dinanas niya doon sa krus, mapapailing tayo at sabihin natin, kawawa naman siya. Hindi siya namatay sa krus para kaawaan natin. At hindi rin ipinakita doon ng mga nagsulat ng Ebanghelyo ang paghihirap ni Jesus. At para malaman natin, masabi natin, ang galing ni Jesus, ang tindi ng kanyang stamina, ang tindi ng kanyang endurance, para sabihin natin na wow, kahanga-hanga. Hindi kailangan ni Jesus ng awa, hindi kailangan ni Jesus ng iyong paghanga. Ang nais niya sa iyo'y pananampalataya. Ang nais niya, tumayo ka doon sa harapan ng krus at tumingala ka sa kanya at maunawaan mong wala kang magagawa. Na siya lang at walang iba ang pwedeng magligtas sa iyo. Na ang kailangang damdamin ay hindi habag, ang kailangang damdamin ay hindi paghanga, kundi paglalagak ng iyong tiwala sa kanya na nag-iisang tagapagligtas na nagbigay ng iyong, ng kanyang buhay para sa iyo at para sa akin. Siya lang at walang ibang makagagawa nito sapagkat siya lang ang tagapagligtas. Amen. Pwede bang palakpakan natin ang Panginoon? Kaya kung ating titingnan, ano, bakit mahalaga yung crucifixion ni Jesus Christ? Why is it necessary? Even though it was described only in 4 words. Pero why was it necessary? Mula sa lente o paningin ni Lucas, makikita natin po ito. Pero bago natin tingnan ang kung paanong tingnan ni Lucas ito, let's take a look at the 7 last words of Jesus Christ, no, in one glance. And we see here, 3 sa last words ni Jesus kay Lucas nang galing. Wala kay Mateo, wala kay Marcos, wala kay Juan. 3 nang galing sa kanya. Ano yun? Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. That's Luke's original. Walang kamuka sa ibang Gospels. Pangalawa, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise speaking to the repentant thief. Again, that's original kay Luke. And then yung panghuli is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was speaking to God, his Father. And the rest, nakita natin dito, yung, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was only accounted for in Matthew and Mark. Yung 3, original naman ni John. No? Yung, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And then, I thirst and it is finished. That's original with John. So, na-complement po itong 4 Gospels para makita natin ang buong larawan ng huling mga kataga ni Jesus Christ. Let's zero in with Luke's account. Yung kay Lucas lang. No? Para makita natin the necessity of the cross. Why is it necessary? No? In verse 34, it says here, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they do. So, ang una pong punto kung bakit the cross is necessary is because we need atonement for our sins. Can you say atonement? Atonement is a big word. It's a technical word. Medyo mahirap pong unawain yung salitang atonement. Pero ang ibig lang sabihin nito, merong kinakailangang magbayad. Someone has to pay for our sins. Man, we cannot get out of it or leave scot-free, no, without paying for our sins. Kinakailangan nating pagdusahan, kinakailangan nating tayo parusahan sa ating mga kasalanan. I wanna say something that may shock you. Love cannot save you. Eh, Pastor, di bang sabi sa John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His
only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Di ba love yun? No? Pero love alone cannot save you. Love alone. Yung sinabi ng God the Father loved the world that He gave, that's true. He gave His life. But if Jesus did not give His life voluntarily, then what would happen to the love of God? So the actual giving of Jesus of His life is grace. Grace will save you, not love. Kasi kung love lang, sabihin natin, eh, mahal ka ni Lord. At kung mahal ka ng Panginoon, di ba napakadali namang sabihin na dahil mahal kita, nagkasala ka sa akin, eh dahil mahal kita, oh, sige, patatawarin na kita. Huwag mo na lang uulitin. Di ba? That's love. Sa pag-ibig lang, pwede tayong makonsinte. Sa pag-ibig lang, pwedeng sabihin na, you have committed a grave sin, but everybody does sin naman. So might as well forgive you and let bygones be bygones. You know? Kalimutan na lang natin ang lahat. Pwede bang ganyan? Halimbawa ba, sa pagkakataong ito, ang dating Pangulong Duterte na nasa The Hague, at habang dinididig ang kanyang kaso, no? I'm not saying that, you know, the former president is guilty or not guilty. It's not for me, no, to say that. Desisyon po yun ng korte. But what if meron talagang ebidensya at meron talagang dahilan para siya makasuhan at para siya makulong? No? At regardless of all the evidences, nagbulag-bulagan ang mga hukom at sinabi nilang, total marami namang siyang nagawang magandang bagay sa Pilipinas. Total marami naman siyang natulong ang mga tao. Total nung panahon naman niya ay payapa ang Pilipinas. Palampasin na lang natin. I mean, regardless of the evidence. I'm not talking just about the former President Duterte, but even the current president na kinakailangan din sigurong humarap sa dahig sa marami, tindi ng corruption. What I'm trying to say is this, kung malinaw na kinakailangan makulong ang isang tao at nagbulag-bulagan ng mga hukom, ang sasabihin natin, walang katarungan. Tama ba? Nasaan ang hustisya? So kung tayo ay haharap sa Diyos at sasabihin niyang kalimutan ko na lang ang mga kasalanan ginawa ninyo, no? At sa langit kayo lahat pupunta, yan ang pag-ibig. Pero sa totoo lang, hindi tayo makakarating sa langit. Dahil ang tatanggapin lamang doon ay perpekto. Ang tatanggapin lamang doon ay ang walang kasalanan. Kaya nga si Jesus ang perfect mediator, no? Paanong nangyari na napatawad tayo ng Diyos, no? Na hindi mo siya maakusahan ng kawalang katarungan. How will God be able to forgive you, no, without Him being accused of injustice? Because we're all guilty. So the only way is for someone who is perfect, 100% sinless, someone who is 100% God and 100% man, and someone who is willing to die for you and for me. Then and only then, God can give forgiveness. Kasi somebody else has already paid it for you. Amen? Amen ba? So Jesus paid it all. Hindi natin kayang bayaran ang pagkakautang na ito. Diyos lang ang pwedeng magbayad. At kung sakaling babayaran natin, wala tayong pambayad at hindi tayo karapat-dapat magbayad dahil sa ating mga kasalanan. Have you ever wondered why Jesus could afford to pay it all? How do you think Jesus could afford to pay it all? Huh? You ask me how? Because Jesus saves. He can afford because He saves us. Amen. Kaya nga, at the end of it all, because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, all praises and all glory and all worship belong to Him.
Walang sino man na pwedeng magmalaki at magmayabang. Masasabi niyang kaya ako nakarating sa langit sapagkat ako'y gumawa ng mabuti. Nagpakain ako ng mga mahihirap. Nagbigay ako ng trabaho sa mga walang trabaho. Tumulong ako sa aking kapwa. Nagsisimba ako linggo-linggo. Namamanata ako pagdating ng Semana Santa. Nangingilin ako, nag-aayuno. Lahat po yan ay baliwala. Ang tangi lang makapagbabayad ng ating kasalanan ay si Jesus. Kaya't sa Kanya ang papuri. Amen. Palakpakan natin ang Panginoon. Hallelujah. So that's number one. Importante na si Jesus ay mamatay sa krus kasi walang atonement pag hindi siya namatay. Kaya kinakailangan ipanganak po siya eh. Kaya mayroong Pasko. He was born to die. The reason for His existence is to die. Yun lang ang dahilan. Okay. Pangalawa, no? Pangalawa is allotment for our space. Allotment for our space. Our space in the kingdom of God. Anong sabi ni Jesus doon sa magnanakaw? Naalala niyo po, dalawang magnanakaw na nakapako sa dalawang gilid ni Jesus, isa sa kaliwa, isa sa kanan, at ang isa ay inuuyam si Jesus. He was scorning Him and rebuking Him and ridiculing Him and telling Him, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us? Iligtas mong sarili mo, Jesus, at iligtas mo rin kami. Pero ang sabi nung isa naman, sabi niya, hangal ka. Kaya tayo nakapako dito sa krus sapagkat karapat-dapat tayo, makasalanan tayo. Recognize niya, makasalanan tayo. Okay? Hindi natin pwedeng iligtas ang sarili natin. Okay? At sinabi niya kay Jesus, Jesus, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. Please remember me. At anong sabi ni Jesus? Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. The crucifixion is necessary so that God can give you room in heaven. The crucifixion is necessary so that God can reserve a space for you. Kaya sabi niya doon sa magnanakaw, tonight you'll have a dinner date with me. You have a special appointment with me. No? Because you will be with me in paradise. And Jesus provided everything. The cross has opened the door of God's blessings. Blessings which were not available in the past. The access to heaven. Kaya nga, the veil was torn. Ang telon ay nahati sa gitna para wala nang partisyon, wala nang maghihiwalay sa atin sa Diyos. Pwede na tayong dumiretso. We have direct access. God has allocated that space for you today. You will be with me in paradise. At panghuli is adoption as His sons. In verse 45, Jesus with a loud voice shouted, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The first one, the first word according to Luke is He was interceding for you and for me. Namamagitan siya para sa iyo at para sa akin. Ama, patawarin mo sila, hindi nila alam ang kanilang ginagawa. Okay. And then, the second word, no? Kausap niya mismo yung makasalanan na walang karapatang pumasok sa kaharian ng Diyos. And then, binigyan siya ng pagkakataon. Binigyan siya ng access. No? Yung pangatlo is Jesus speaking to His Father, reporting what He had done. And coming back to Him, going back to Him, despite all the pain, despite all the hurts, despite all the trauma that the cross has brought to Him, He was still willing to entrust His soul to the one who hurt Him. He was still willing, no? To call Him His Father. He was actually running back to His Father. Para siyang prodigal son, returning to His Father, although he did not commit any sin. So see, Luke here emphasizes the father heart of God.
Luke, the gospel, or the apostle Luke, no, Dr. Luke, wants us to understand who this God is. This God is our Father. Ang Diyos na ito ay pwede nating ituring na Ama sapagkat itinuturing niya tayong mga anak.
Di ba napakasarap pong isipin nun?
Kasi isang bagay yung alam mong mapatawad ka sa iyong mga kasalanan through atonement. That's one thing, to be forgiven of your sins. And another thing, to have a space or room in heaven na meron kang tiyak na kalalagyan sa paraiso. Meron naka-reserve the space for you. No? Hindi ka lulutang-lutang. There is a home for you. Amen. Dalawang bagay na maganda yan. Pero kung wala yung panghuli, the adoption as sons, aanhin mo na napatawad ang iyong kasalanan. Aanhin mo na meron kang space sa langit. Pwedeng sabihin ng anghel, welcome to heaven. You have been forgiven. You have free access in all the amenities here in heaven. You can enjoy the infinity pool. You can enjoy the falls. You can enjoy the dawning of the light every morning. No, you can enjoy everything here in heaven except don't bother God. Don't bother God, ha? Kasi he's busy. Because he's not your father. Pero yung ma-realize natin that, wow, God does not only reserve a space for us, and God has not only forgiven our sins, but he has treated us as his sons and daughters. Yung ituring ka ng Diyos na tunay na anak. Yung ituring ka at mahalin ka, at kalingain ka, at itrato ka na anak ka. At hindi lang anak, tagapagmana pa. Amen? So, kailangan ng krus para sa lahat ng yan. Kailangan ng krus sapagkat ang turing sa atin ng Diyos ay kaaway. Pero dahil sa krus, napahinuhod ang Diyos, naglubag ang kanyang kalooban, at bumukas ang pintuan ng langit para sa iyo at para sa akin. Kaya purihin ang Panginoon. Pwede bang palakpakan natin ang Panginoon sa kanyang pag-ibig sa atin? Kaya sa krus ng Kalbaryo, nagtagpo po ang hustisya at ang kahabagan ng Diyos. Sa krus ng Kalbaryo, ang anak ng Diyos ay namatay at kailangan yun para sa ating kaligtasan. Amen and amen. Praise God sa kanyang kabutihan sa atin. Okay. So it's not just the way of the cross, but the why of the cross. Why? Simple, short statement there, they crucified him. You know, why? Bakit nga ba maikli lamang ito? Bukod doon sa nakita nating tatlong dahilan, atonement, allotment, and adoption. Let me include three more things. You know, the cross was not an accident. Ang krus po, mga kapatid, ay hindi labas sa plano ng Diyos. Noong ipinako si Kristo sa krus ng Kalbaryo, hindi nabigla ang Diyos. At nagulat siya. At hindi niya sabi niya siguro sa kanyang sarili, hindi ko nakita yun ah. Because God was never surprised. When you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 24, itong pagkakasabi ni Apostle Peter nung nag-preach siya sa 3,000 na katao, sabi niya, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, verse 23, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of the lawless man, men. Anong sabi? This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Meaning, bago palikhain ang langit at lupa, nakaplano na to. bago palikhain si Adan sa kasi Eva, bago pa man sila magkasala, nasa isip na ng Diyos ito. So hindi po nabigla ang Diyos bakit napako yung anak niya doon sa krus at siya'y nagsisisi, ba't niya pinadala pa nung Pasko yung anak niya? Tatanggihan pala ng mga tao? No. Pero sabi po dito, malinaw na malinaw, it's part of the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. Plano ng Diyos, God raised him up and losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So God was never surprised nor caught off guard by the crucifixion. That's why it's so short. Pangalawa, it was not made up. It was not made up. It was not a made up drama. No. Hindi po si Jesus ay nabigla din at nahimatay. At kunwa-kunwari ang namatay. No. Hindi po ito bahagi ng isang teleserye para meron tayong mapanood sa Netflix. Jesus actually suffered and died. Yung lahat ng naranasan ni Jesus, talagang naranasan niya po yan, mga kapatid. Naranasan niya po lahat talaga yan. Si Jesus ay hindi po apparition. Hindi siya hologram nung nandito siya. Hindi siya avatar. Totoong tao siya. Totoong Diyos siya, totoong tao siya. At lahat ng dinaanan niya, mga kapatid, totoong naranasan niya. So we have to understand the realism of the Bible when it talks about, you know, all the experiences of Jesus and not try to spiritualize things na kunwari lang nasasaktan si Jesus pero sa totoo lang hindi niya nararamdaman yung pagkakapako sa kanya, hindi niya nararamdaman yun. Yung paglatigo sa kanya, hindi niya nararamdaman yun. Kunwari lang umaaray siya. Eh Diyos siya, di ba? Kunwari lang yun na parang naiiyak siya. Kunwari lang lahat ng yan. Mga kapatid, totoo pong nangyari ang lahat ng ito. Hindi tayo dinadaya ng Diyos. Hindi tayo nililin lang ng Diyos. Kaya nga, ang sabi sa Hebreo, meron tayong punong saserdote na dumaan sa lahat na halos ng ating karanasan at lahat ng ating kahinaan, pati mga tukso. Kung kaya't mauunawaan niya ang ating kalagayan sapagkat naranasan niya ito. No? Kaya meron tayong bisan pananaw na ano eh, yung bang, alam mo, pagka may mga masasamang bagay na nangyayari sa'yo, huwag mo masyadong indahin. Bakit? Kapag may masamang nangyayari sa'yo, eh, may bukas pa. Di ba? You know, God is in the business of turning bad into good. Di ba? God is in the business of turning evil into something better or good. No? Kaya kung ikaw man ay dumadaan sa mga pagsubok ng iyong buhay, ay ngitian mo lang. Tumawa ka lang. At huwag mo masyadong dibdibin. No? Kasi may pag-asa ka pa sa susunod na mga bahagi ng iyong buhay. You know? Meron tayong ganyang something, prophetic word na, you know, bad will be turned into good. It's a blessing in... Ano nga yung sabi? Blessing in the sky? No, blessing in disguise. No, blessing in disguise. No? Mga kapatid, siguro sa halip na magbigay tayo ng ganitong empty promises sa mga tao, maging realistic tayo because bad things are bad. Bad experiences are bad. Hindi natin pwedeng sabihin na huwag mo masyadong damdamin, huwag masyadong dibdibin. Kasi kung ganun ang nangyari, isipin mo, sabi nga ni Tim Keller, isipin mo, nung namatay si Lazaro, di ba alam naman ni Jesus, alam na ni Jesus, that he will raise Lazarus from the dead. He already knew the good news. Tama? Tama po ba? Alam na ni Jesus na bubuhay na maguling si Jesus. Nag-iiyakan po ang lahat. Nananangis ang lahat. Pero ano ginawa niya na nandun siya, ano, patungo dun sa libingan,
siya ba ay nakangiti? At sinasabi niya sa mga tao, okay, magkalala. No? Everything works together for good. Di ba? Kano ba ang ginawa niya? Sinabi ba niya sa mga tao na, anong iniyak-iyak ninyo eh, andito naman ako. No? I can turn something bad into something good. Anong posture ni Jesus? Anong totoong naramdaman ni Jesus? He was in anguish. He was in tears. He was in agony. He wept. Oo, alam niya, mabubuhay na maguli si Lazarus. Pero alam niya na, you know, suffering is bad. Sickness is bad. Death is bad. It's really bad. So he went through. He went through the emotion. He went through the feelings of losing a friend. Of seeing, you know, the agony of his friends. And he even seeing the badness of sickness and death. Kaya he validated what we're going through. But he knows at the back of his mind, alam niya yung ending. But he lived in the moment. Hindi niya binypass yung process of grieving. Hindi siya nagbigay ng empty promises. Sapagkat tayo ay tao, meron tayong mga emosyon at meron tayong damdamin that we have to go through the grieving process. We have to go through the pain of losing. We have to go through that. But we all know in the future, God can really turn bad things to good. Alam natin yan. Hindi man dito sa mundo. But when Jesus returns, He will end all the bad things and the bad people. He will end all of them without ending you. Without ending us. Yeah, when we or our friends or loved ones go through sufferings, no? Let's be with them. Live in the moment. Be with them. Journey with them. Huwag ka agad didiretso dun sa balang araw, makakaahon ka rin. Balang araw, no? Huwag masyadong indihin yan. No? Kasi lahat ito dinaanan ni Jesus without bypassing human emotion, without bypassing human experience, he endured until the end. At ang pinakamasaklap na in-endure niya is not just the pain, the physical pain. It's not even the shame, public shame. But the most tragic thing that he endured is being abandoned by his own father. He was left all alone. Parang for the first time. Kaya nga, si Matthew saka si Mark, sinulat nila yung pagdating ng 12 noon hanggang 3 p.m., there was darkness. Because literally, it was dark. And Jesus became friend with darkness. Because everybody left him. Iniwanan siya ng mga kaibigan niya. Iniwanan siya na binitray siya ng kaibigan niya, si Judas. Dininay siya ni Peter, na best friend niya. The rest of the disciples turned their backs on him. The religious leaders condemned him. Pilate sent him to be crucified. And even God the Father turned his back on him.
Kaya when he shouted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No? Yung salitang, my God. Bakit my God? Hindi niya sinabing, my head. My hands. Hindi niya sinabing ganun, my body is aching. No? My clothes are torn. My friends, where are you? No. He cried, my God. Because for the first time in his life, he was left all alone, all by himself. At kaya naman kinakailangan na tumalikod ang kanyang ama sa kanya sapagkat bit-bit niya at pasan-pasan niya ang kasalanan mo at kasalanan ko. He had to go through that to bear all your sins, to bear the burden of the punishment on of your sins, to bear the penalty for your sins and for my sin. So that's a cry of longing for his father. And that's a cry of obedience to his father. My God, still you are my God. You are my God still. In spite of emptiness and loneliness on the cross. Niyakap niya ang kadiliman para ikaw, kapatid, pagka nasa gitna ka ng kadiliman, maunawaan mong hindi ka nag-iisa. Kasi kasama mo si Jesus sa kadiliman. So it was the why of the cross, why it's short, because it's not an accident, it's not made up, and finally, it's not the end. The reason why it was so short, there they crucified him, because it's not the end. Amen ba? Because what awaits him is the glorious resurrection. What awaits him, no, is that he will be exalted, he will be glorified, he will rise again from the dead. And everything that he had experienced on this planet, no matter how traumatic, no matter how graphic, no matter how excruciating the pain is. Interestingly, the word excruciating, the word crux there is the cross. Excruciating. Meaning, it's out of crucifying. He experienced all that. Pero nung nabuhay na maguli siya mula sa mga patay and spending time with his disciples, there was no recollection whatsoever of the pain. No recollection of the hurts. No remembrances of the offense. Wala siyang kinuwento about kung gaano kasakit yung latigo sa kanyang likod. Wala siyang kinukwento doon sa kanyang mga disciples kung paano gaano katindi yung suntok ng sundalo sa kanya, kung gaano kasakit yung koronang tinik na inilagay, pinutong sa kanyang ulo. Wala siyang kinukwento tungkol doon. Kasi lahat ng pain at lahat ng sufferings natin is incomparable to the glory that awaits us. Amen ba? That when you are glorified in the kingdom of God, you will not even think about these sufferings. These are all petty sufferings. Kaya kay Jesus, walang bitterness. Wala siyang sinabi kay Peter na, Peter, ah, salbahe ka. Ikinaila mo ako. Huwag mo nang ulitin yun. Wala siyang sinasabing gano'n. Why? Because that's the glory of the resurrected life. There was no guilt tripping. There was no gaslighting. Nothing. Because the mission to win the world for God is greater than any offense, greater than any hurts, greater than any pain.
No? Kaya kapatid, if you're going through suffering, at alam mo na any moment you'll be dying. I like how Timothy Keller would say it bago siya mamatay because he died of cancer. Alam mo kanyang declaration bago siya mamatay? Death can only make your life better. And so, Timothy Keller died graciously and now enjoying the glory with the Savior that he loved the most and served all his life. Amen. And so as we celebrate the Holy Week, let's have reflections, mga kapatid. Instead of thinking na, what will I do during this Holy Week? Saan beach kami pupunta? Saan kami mag-travel? Saan kami mag-out of town? No, anong bibilin kong sports apparel? No? Saan kami magigig? I deserve this the break. I deserve this travel. I deserve this holiday. I deserve a break. I deserve these clothes. I deserve a new iPhone. Kapatid, you know what you deserve? You deserve hell. I deserve hell. You deserve hell. That's what we deserve. So instead of looking at what I deserve and what I am entitled to, sa totoo lang, ang deserve natin, impyerno. Jesus deserves glory. He deserves praise. He deserves beauty. He deserves service, honor, and majesty. And yet, he went to the cross, suffered, and died for you and for me. Now, I mapukaw nito ng ating mga puso. At makita natin na tayong responsable kung bakit namatay si Kristo sa krus ng Kalbaryo. When we look at the picture on the side, and I wanted to show you that picture in a bigger scale, Dutch painter Rembrandt drew that picture using pencil, a different kind of pencil. At talagang highly acclaimed yung painting na to because, you know, the gradient, the black gradient, how he drew it. It was drawn, painted in 1653, I think, yeah, in the Netherlands. Okay. But what's gripping about this photo, this painting, is not just the how he displayed light and darkness and how he contrasted light and darkness. It's not just that. What's gripping about this painting is that you, when you see someone in the middle of the cross, he painted himself in this painting. That's Rembrandt. He was looking up, nakatingin kay Jesus. Making himself one of those who crucified Jesus. Para gawin niyang responsable ang sarili niya na kaya napako si Kristo sa krus ay dahil sa akin. No? Sana ngayong Semana Santa, sa ating pagdiriwang ng banal na linggong ito, ang ating buhay, ang ating pamilya ay magnilay-nilay. No? At ating balikan ang ginawa ni Jesus doon sa krus ng Kalbaryo. At kung hindi mo pa naranasan, si Jesus sa iyong puso bilang tagapagligtas. At ngayon mo lang naunawaan na hindi ka pala makakarating sa langit sa pamamagitan ng iyong sariling gawa at sariling kabanalan. Ngayon ang araw na ito, kapatid, para kilalanin mo siya. Kaya siya napakot sa krus ay para sa iyo at para sa akin. Amen. Amen. Amen.